I'd like to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Am I supposed to put this off to the side a little bit or not? It don't matter. Okay. It's always good to be here, to see you folks. We've been here many times. Jerry asked me the other day when he called me, about the first of the week, he asked if I would consent to preach here this morning. He told me what all was taking place. And then at the end he said, you're having a carry-in too. Okay, yeah, we'll be here. So, it's always good to see you. I wondered how many of you this morning love the Lord. Would you raise your hand? The Bible says lift up holy hands. And I tell you what, you know, we have hands. And I like to see a little bit of action, you know, when I preach. And I like to keep your attention because it's only for a short time. If it's 20 minutes or a half hour, whatever. God's word is true. We've seen God's power in the last few days, last weekend, yes. And, you know, we listen to the news and stuff and see how powerful God really is. Makes you feel pretty small, don't it? Makes you feel like an ant down here, crawling around. Can't do nothing about it, just pray. And I'm sure a lot of you prayed, like it was mentioned this morning by Brother Jay. But God is real. And he's powerful. He's still on the throne. And this morning, right after Jerry called me, I was seeking a message. And Martha and I are both Sunday school teachers up at Fairplay. And I'm going through Acts, the book of Acts. And I've been blessed so much. You know, the book of Acts is the birth of the church. And so I thought this morning I'd share Acts 5, and thank you, brother. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to the end. And there's quite a few verses, but I'm only going to make comments on a few of them. The highlight this morning of the message that brought my attention to this chapter is verse 34. I just might make a couple of comments on this verse before I get started. It was about giving the apostles a little bit of space. And I tell you what, I've got many miles out of my life because of it. And I think a lot of times, you know what it's saying here, you know, when it comes to husband and wife and family, I don't know why it is always that way. I love family. And somehow my messages a lot of times end up around a family for some reason. I'm not even sure why, but when I thought about giving space, I thought about the husband, wife, you know, giving each other space, giving each other some space in life. And I was listening to a speaker here some time ago, and he said that what it means in the Bible where it says, God will make you a helpmeet. He's talking to Adam. He's talking about a wife for the man. And he said a lot of people are trying to make their wives like them. God didn't do that. God made the woman completely different. And you know why she is there for you? Because you got lacking in your life. I got lacking in my life. I need a helper. That's what the wife is. And don't try to make her like you. Give her some space. Amen? Come on. Are you listening? Give her some space. Amen. Hey, we got somebody listening this morning. All right. So that's just, I thought I'd share that a little bit this morning just for before I get started. But I'd like to look at the birth of the church. Just take the word of God and just think it over. These guys set the stage for the church in our day. 2,100 years later, what these guys went through, the apostles, and they took beatings, they took shame, and they took all of that we can sit here this morning and enjoy the grace of God. Let's think about it. Verse 17, reading from the King James. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, jealousy. They were filled with jealousy what happened after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the return, the ascension back to Christ, and the Holy Spirit came 10 days later. They saw things happening that they were jealous about. The religious leader was losing their grip. They were losing the hold on the people. And he says they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Can you imagine that this morning, the power of God? The same God that they were serving back then, we're still serving today. While these people were in prison, it says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and he brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. While they were in prison during the night, the angels came and they got them out of prison. And evidently, they did not use the doors, windows. I don't know how they got them out. Because, verse 21 it says, when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came, and they that were with him, he called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought. They did not know that they escaped prison by an angel. They did not know. But verse 22 it says, but when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and they told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers are standing without before the doors, but when he had opened, we found no man within. Can you imagine this morning, people? They went to bring the prisoners to the council. And they checked around the prison, the guards, and everybody was standing there. I've did quite a few, in over the years, since probably starting about 81, off and on, we did prison work. And I've seen, you know, they got guards that you got to go through. You got to go through safety things. A lot of you people know what I'm talking about. These people were all in place. Now, where's the prisoners? They were not there. In verse 24, it says, when the high priest said the captain of the temple, the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them. They didn't believe them. They thought they were just kidding because everything was in order. The doors were locked. The guards were standing in the right place where they're supposed to. In verse 26, it says, verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. That got my attention. You know, as we think about that, we don't think like God does unless, you know, He had a plan. You know what? I had to think, you know, the plan that God had back 2,100 years ago, approximately, not right on, but he thought of this church. He thought of you and I. He thought of the children that are sitting here this morning. He thought of the grandma and grandpa. He thought of children that are going to be born. God knows everything. You can't hide nothing from God. And they were teaching. God had a plan. And in 26, then went the captain with the officers, and he brought them without violence. Why? For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. You know, when they found the apostles teaching in the temple, they got a hold of them, and they did not fight. That was a true sign that they were followers of Christ. That is the Christian life. Violence. You don't do that. And these people, they said, the reason they were, you know, back in those days, there was two things that were very common that happened in the early days of the church. One of them was stoning. Remember different times that they were going to stone people, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? He says, Moses' law was that she should be stoned. They challenged Jesus, what were you going to do? And he said, you without sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. Stoning. That's what's back in the early days. And what was the other one? It was whippings. 39 stripes across your back. That is what these people took for you and I. Even after Christ resurrected and the Holy Spirit came, these people, they still suffered these punishments. So, they didn't want to be stoned. They had a message. And verse 27 is when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, now what would you do? What would I do? Did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in the name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, I like that. I'm going to make some comments on this verse. You know what conscience do? Guilty. Feel condemned. I had to think, you know, some years ago, probably 35, 40 years ago, somebody just decided they're going to see if they can take prayer out of school. And they got it done. They got it done. And the thing of it is that really strikes me today. You know, when there are school shootings, when those things happen over the news, guess what? Pray for that school. But they don't want prayer in the school. You don't need God. But when somebody's child gets killed or get hurt, guess what? They want God. Because you know that He's the power. They had guilt. People didn't want prayer in the school because there were some children there that didn't grow up in a Christian home. So they took it out. Maybe because of a handful of people. They took it out. The other one I thought about, you know, back some years ago, they were taking votes on taking the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, the White House, all these places. How come? I had to think, you know, probably a lot of these men and women, they were living in deep sin. While they were sitting in the console, they were looking at these plaques on the wall in great writings. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He is God. And it brought conviction. This verse tells me the reason they didn't want people to teach about Jesus is because he says, you're bringing this man's blood upon us. You're making us feel guilty. They were guilty. They were the ones that did it. They were the ones that said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, our children's children. They're the ones that put him on the cross for our redemption. But it says, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They didn't want to talk about it. They wanted them to shut up and quit talking about Jesus. Can you imagine what the church would be like today without Christ? What would we talk about? What would we sing about without Christ? That is what we need to talk about. And this man here, the council did not want them to talk about Jesus. And then Peter said, here's what I like. Peter said, and the other apostles, they answered and they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. What do you think? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, and they kept on talking, whom ye slew, and he hung him on a tree. I'm sure they did not appreciate that. He says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and his savior, for to give you repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Why was it so hard to accept that? I do not understand it. And we are his witnesses of things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. That obey them. Now, the story kind of changes a little bit right here. What happened? When they heard, they were cut to the heart. And he took counsel again to slay them. Prison could not hold him. So they figured, well, what we'll do is we'll just kill him. We're going to take their life. So they took counsel. They took votes. What are we going to do with these guys? This verse 34 is a good friend of mine. I hope it's yours too. Name is Gamaliel. I've got a lot of miles out of this guy. I really appreciate him. I don't know if he has been a Christian or not. I got no idea. You only read about him twice in the scripture. One is this here, and also in chapter 22, verse 3, Paul, the apostle Paul, which wrote 13 books of the New Testament, was taught by Gamaliel. He went to his college. Gamaliel was a smart man. Now, by the way, his father, if you look at history, Gamaliel's dad was a rabbi. About as high up as you can get. And that's where he was raised from. That's where he grew up. And I love this story here. What Gamaliel said, and then stood up one in the council. He was there. He was a Pharisee. His name was Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. He had reputation among all the people. And he commanded to put apostles forth a little space. You know what? What he did here saved the death, saved the life of the apostles. Because they were making plans. They were making plans to put them to death. Later on, Stephen was put to death. But the apostles lived through it because of one man standing up and taking a stand. I really believe God worked through him. I really do. Give the apostles a little space. Then he goes on and he talks about why you should give them a little space. Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do that he's touching these men. Pay attention what you're going to do. You want more blood upon your hands. Innocent blood. What are they doing that is so wrong? He says in verse 36, for before these days rose up Theus, boasting himself to be somebody to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain and all, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to nothing. That was one case. Now, if you know this Theus, if I pronounce that right, and also Judas in verse 37, these two men claimed to be Christ, if you look at history. These men claimed to be the Messiah. And the first one had 400 people following him. He was killed and everything went to nothing. The next man was Judas. He says, Judas of Galilee, in the days of taxing, he drew away much people after him. And he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, dispersed. Now, I've been around for a while. I'm not sure if I'm the oldest person here, but we're not going to go there. I'm probably crowding a little bit. Anyhow, I've seen a lot of things happen. I've seen people got fed up with the church in my time, and they go to, maybe it's just a few go out and just start their own little groups. Seems like after a while they kind of go to nothing. There was my daughter's remembered, I know Jolene would remember that, I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a group back home, what we call Pennsylvania Home. They were had Amish blood in them, and they were so fed up with that kind of a life. And they were a big group. And it was a big, big group because we used to have the young people come to our place, play volleyball. I mean, there was a big group of young people. They did not know what foundation to build their belief on. They thought they knew. All of a sudden, everything went to nothing. Young people started going to bars, breaking up marriages in their homes. A lot of bad things happened. And that's exactly what Gamaliel's saying here. And this is what happens. If people choose to live that kind of a life, you need a foundation to build on. You need a foundation. Because the law, back in the time of the law where where Gamaliel's talking about, he was a lawman. He was giving the law to enforce it. He had reputation. People believed him. People was able to look at him and said, man, there's a powerful man. He's got common sense. But he believed in the law. Guess what the law was? And it still is today. The law is to judge other people. But when grace came, it came to us individually. That's what's beautiful about it. And too often times we start taking those two and put them all into a glass and to mix them up. The grace of God is a blessing. It is the greatest blessing that you and I will ever have. We get another chance. We sin. We come short. We don't give each other space. Maybe we're angry at our wife. Maybe the wife is angry at her husband. Maybe the children are judged. Maybe by the one that has all straight A's, another one comes along and has a hard time in school. You want everybody to be like the straight A student. Where's your grace? Where is your another chance? Gamaliel said, give them people some space. Think about it. I tell you what, Gamaliel, I don't know if he ever knew it, but he was a mouthpiece for God, a lawman in a time of grace. And this is the birth of the church. This is what these people went through, that again I say that you and I can sit here and enjoy God's word and enjoy God's grace. If we do fail, if we do sin, God will take us back if we only confess. That is a gift. You know, here a while back I talked about an Old Testament character. It's a family man that hid something under the tent under his stuff. Achan is his name. Joshua, they were losing battle in the war. So Joshua went to God and talked to him. And he says, what is wrong? What is happening? We're losing out. You're not fighting our battles. He said, there's sin in your camp. So he had to search by the tribes to find out where that was. And finally Joshua said, he coveted that stuff. And he said, where is it? He says, it's under my tent. They ran to find the stuff, and it was there, like he said. He actually confessed like you and I. I'm sorry I have done that, but there was no grace. When the judgment came down upon Achan, he said, take Achan, take his wife, take his children, take his horses, take his cows, his turkeys, his chickens, everything that he has. Wiped him out. They took him down in the Death Valley and they stoned him to death. And then they burned it. Do you appreciate grace this morning? I tell you what, when you go back in the Old Testament, you read some of these stories, that is to bring you to Christ. It says this Old Testament, a schoolmaster bringing us to Jesus, that we appreciate his forgiveness and his grace and another chance. It's not like playing ball when you strike out, three strikes are done. You can rise up and try again. How often does Jesus say that you should forgive? If he said you should do it, he will do it even more. He says 70 times 7 you forgive those that trespass against you. Peter thought 3 times is a good thing. He said, How about 7 times? 70 times 7, 490 times in one day. That's God's grace. And Jesus will forgive you. He will help you. We're not under the law today, people. We're under grace. These people that go out and try to be Christ and find some secret way to be a Christian, it don't work. Jesus told us everything. He told us everything, but he said, I don't know when I'm coming back. That's not for me to know, but my Father, which is in heaven. He don't know the day, the hour that he's coming, but my Father knows. Other than that, he told us everything. He didn't keep no secrets. These men did not stay around long. They went to nothing. And now I say unto you, verse 38, I love it. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. That is what I'm saying. You need a foundation. You need a foundation to build your life upon. And he talked about earlier about prayer out of school. The question is sometimes, and I'm guilty of it. You know, since I don't preach as much as I used to, I'll just simply confess to you. You know, there are things that come into our homes that take away from God's word. I'm just being honest. Amen? Come on, let's be honest this morning. There's things that we invite into our homes that puts God out. Just like they did take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, out of the White House, and take prayer out of school. And a lot of times I think about these things. We're so concerned and focused on those things, and I am. I don't like it as well, what happened in our country. Especially prayer out of school. It needs to be there. It needs to be there. That's why a lot of people are going to Christian day school. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you to have homeschooling if you can't afford that. We never did homeschooling, but a lot of people are going that route because they cannot afford it. The thing of it is, I want to ask you the question, who took the prayer out of your home? Or is it still there? Think about it. Who took Bible reading out of your home? Who took it out of my home? Who are we going to blame? We cannot blame anyone, can we? There are things that we invite into our homes that does that. And we're the guilty ones, dads. We allow these things to happen. I put myself right in that same. Maybe you don't have that problem, but a lot of people do. And they wonder then why there's not a happiness in the home, in the marriage. They wonder why there's not a laughter that echoes through the house. Because of these things, we allow them in. He says, give them some space. Verse 39 and 40. But if it be of God, it cannot overthrow it. You still believe this morning that God has all power? He is all power. The Old Testament tells us that the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Can you think about that? Take a drip of water, put it in a bucket. That's the nations. Not only America, the world. But he's so small this morning that he will hear a child's prayer. Isn't that amazing? That is the God that we serve. He will hear your prayers. He will help us and he will forgive us. That's a king that we serve and worship. In verse 40, they all agreed. When they had called the apostles, and look what happened then. Why couldn't they just leave him go? But they beat him. They took a whip and they beat them. I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe that they got the 39 stripes. The backs were cut open. Lashes across their back because they talked about Jesus. Think about it. I wondered already, church, if it would make a difference in our own churches, in our groups, if there was persecution. I wondered about that, because these people here, it was setting the stage for the church. Years down the road. Many years down the road. We can look back on them. It says, man, how did you do it? How did you do it? How could you hang in there? How could you take those whippings and those beatings and knowing that death is just around the corner because you talk about the Messiah, Jesus, the King, the one that's going to come back. In Acts it says how he's coming. When they saw him go up in Acts 1, there on the seashore, you know, when the people gathered, 500 people saw him. I like to just sometimes have my mind and take a trip. Just imagine him standing, and all of a sudden he started going up. I don't know how fast he went. He just kept going up and going up. Pretty soon there was a cloud between them, and they couldn't see him no more, but they kept staring into heaven. It just kept gazing like people did the other here a while back when the sun and the moon passed each other. A lot of people were looking. One person said, I don't know what's so excited about that. He said, it's only going to last for a few seconds, right? Maybe a minute and a half. I'm not even sure how long it was. We were there looking through them black glasses. It was kind of neat. He says, it don't make sense to me. This is what a guy told me and come to my shop. And we got to talking about that just before it happened. And he said, I see a good reason for that. He says, what's that? I says, it causes people to look up. They looked up. Can you imagine how many millions of people, thousands, they came miles and miles and they were looking in the heavens. These guys that were from Galilee with Jesus, they were gazing. That cloud came between Jesus and them. They just kept. I don't know how long they were there. But it says there's two men of white apparel showed up. They would have been angels. And it says, you men of Galilee, why you gazing? Why you stand here gazing in the heavens? Just staring to that cloud. This is what's going to happen, people. He says, this same Jesus. You saw him go. This is the way he'll come. He's going to bust through the clouds someday. I heard these messages preached when I was a little boy by my dad and my grandpa. But guess what? We're a lot closer than we were back then. He is coming. And there's people making fun of it. That's also recorded. It says, oh yeah, you've been telling us a long time that Jesus is coming. Where is he? Where is his return? Hang in there. But the big thing is be prepared to die, because still one out of one people still die. Death. Appointed unto man. After that, it's judgment. Just a couple of verses, then I'll close here. In verse 40, when they agreed and when they had called the apostles and they beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go after a whipping. They commanded it, but they did not promise they would not. Look what they said in verse 41. This is a true Christian right here. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Think about it. Tell you what, folks, when you get a hold of that depth, you're going to give people around you in the church, in the neighborhood, in the family, you're going to give them some space. You're going to see the good in people. You're going to see the value in people. Too often, people, we're looking for the bad things in people. That is wrong. That is from Satan. We look for the good things. And when we see that we're all born altogether in sin, all of us are, then we need to start looking for the good things in people and lift each other up. And caught it rejoicing because somebody speaks evil against us falsely. Rejoice, the Bible says. Because they've done it before. They did it here. They've done it before. And it says in 42, and daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ, the King of glory, be glorified and praised for this story this morning. He paid it all. And these guys that he gave direction and the power of the Holy Spirit that drove them, did not care about death. But they got a city that Jesus Christ is building. And they're looking forward for that place. How about you and I? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious Son. We thank you for the precious blood. We thank you for the apostles, the power that you gave them to overcome the power of Satan and religious leaders. They were the birth of the church. Upon this, Peter said, I will build my church, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, for this I ask that you would take glory and honor to yourself, because you bore it all. We're only here for a short time. Then we're going to leave this world. Or are you going to come back again? Without a doubt. Lord, these dear people here this morning that were sitting in the sound of the gospel, I pray that you would bless them, Lord. May you bless them. May you would keep them. May you make his face to shine upon them. May you give them of your grace. May you give him of your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Not only today, but it's forever in his name that we pray. Amen. And amen.